We're in 1 Corinthians, and last time, you know, Paul received a letter from Corinth telling him there were some problems going on, and one of the problems was there were divisions in the church, and it was based upon people choosing leaders to follow. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter, and I'm of Christ, you know, but all divided, and we talked about the unifying factor of what brings the church or keeps the church together, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ, the message of the cross, is, you know, the wisdom and power of God. That's what Paul wrote us about last time. Now, the question for us is, you know, like, there's a couple things. One is, what is the, best way for the gospel to be presented? Right? What's the most important thing that we... And I think, you know, with media, and there's a lot of voices out there. You know, there's a lot of people. And I think what Paul says is very helpful in regard to that in chapter 2, how he explains the way he brought it to Corinth. And then the second thing is, what makes someone able to hear the gospel? Not everybody can hear it. Not everybody gets it. Remember, Jesus, one of his sayings that he said every once in a while after he taught something was, let him who has ears to hear, hear. And what he meant by that is not everybody can understand, not everybody receives the message. The four soils tells us that, right? Like how the message was taken in different ways, and only, you know, one of those four took it in and really produced the work of God. So what causes that? So we're going to start first with Paul talking about when he came to Corinth and how he proclaimed the message. He said, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the mystery from God. For I resolved to know nothing about you while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise, persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. There's a few things that are really important about. First of all, he talks about when he came to Corinth, he came in weakness. He didn't come, you know, okay, listen to me, I'm the big, you know. He was being chased from one town to another by the people of Thessalonica. They chased him to Berea, then they chased him all the way down to Athens, and then finally he got to Corinth, and God told him, stay here, and he stayed for a year and a half in Corinth, right? But when he got there, he'd been on the run because the Jewish leaders were chasing him from town to town, persecuting him, right? So he didn't come there as a conquering hero. He didn't come there as someone that was renowned, full of himself, right? The other thing he says is, I didn't come with clever language. I didn't come to try to entice your ears or to make you hear something or to sell you something. I think one of the real problems in the church, in recently especially, is they market Jesus. They treat it like a commercial. Oh, we got to get you to buy this, so we're going to, you know, do clever things. Paul said there was none of that. There's none of that in his speaking, none of that in what he was bringing. Paul wanted to make sure that he was not the focus of the message. He wanted to make sure that he wasn't the reason why people listened. He said he wanted it to be God's message, the mystery of God, we call it. We'll talk about that in a minute. The mystery of God that was presented, and not the person, not the preacher. And you know, when we see people that make more of themselves than they make of Christ, that's a shame. I don't care if you know my name when you leave this place or not, but I really do care if you know who Jesus is and what Jesus did. So he said, I didn't want to know anything about it. The other thing is, in that line, he says, I didn't want to know anything about you, meaning I wasn't going to talk to you about politics. I wasn't going to talk to you about the economy. I wasn't going to talk to you about anything in the world around you. I only wanted to talk to you about one thing, Jesus Christ and him crucified, because that is the power, that's the wisdom. In the last chapter, he said, that's the wisdom and power of God. how God sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross, and by the power of that crucifixion, that atoning sacrifice, he gives us freedom. Freedom from sin, he gives us forgiveness, he gives us grace, he gives us mercy, he gives us righteousness. All this comes because of the message of the cross of Jesus Christ, right? So he wants them, above all, the last part of this, and this I've seen happen tragically, where someone maybe attached themselves to somebody else, and their whole Christian experience was that one person. And then that person goes away, or that person dies. And their faith was attached to that one person, and now they drift. They're lost. They don't have any anchor for their soul. They don't have a church. They don't have people. They don't have anyone to help them from then on, right? And so he says, I don't want your faith to be based on anything other than the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on the power of God. You know, when I pray for myself, I pray for you, I'm always praying, you know, Holy Spirit, come. Come into our house, come into our worship, come into our hearts. Help us, Lord God. And I tell you this, I pray every time while I'm worshiping, I'm praying for the Spirit to give me the ability to speak the Word of God. Because if I got up here without the Spirit of God, without the power of God, I would be lost, I would be confused, I would not be able to proclaim the gospel of Christ. It's God's power, God's Spirit that works in the minister. And that's the only thing that makes the Word alive, is God working through somebody. And it's, you know, and who should get the glory? People will come up, oh, that was a great sermon. Say, yeah, but it was the text. God gave me the Word. It's the Spirit of God. God gave me that. What did I have to do with it, right? I'm just a person. That's the way Paul looked at this. Paul said, when I go, I want to proclaim the gospel. I don't want people to be looking at me thinking, oh, what a great communicator, or oh, how entertaining that person is. No, I want them to know the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's what he did in Corinth. So that to me was the first thing is, what's the best way to make sure the message is proclaimed? It's proclaimed not by cleverness, not by human wisdom, not by charismatic personality, but by the power of God. And it's the Word of God, right? And he mentions the mystery, but he goes on to talk about the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ is something that was in God's heart. And in actually, the first time that God mentions Jesus is in Genesis chapter 3:15. And there he's talking about, you know, the curse of sin. And he says, you know, the serpent's going to strike at the heel of the seed of the woman. And the son was going to crush the head of the serpent, right? And that's the first time. That's at creation. That's right, you know, Adam and Eve. He's talking about Jesus crushing the power of Satan. He says, we do not, however, speak a message of wisdom among, we do speak a message of wisdom among the mature. You know, when we talk about Jesus Christ, there's a depth to it. I mean, I've studied Scripture for 40-some years, and there's a depth to it. I still look at it. I still see, you know, because what's behind it is God, right? If you get to where you understand everything, it's God, right? And so we can work on it all the days of our lives, and we still won't get everything because God is behind it. Right. And so he says, I do speak a message of wisdom among the mature. Wisdom, spiritual wisdom. Not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. This is the thing, I mentioned this last time a little bit, but I invest my life in God's word, in God's message, in his truth, and I don't look anywhere else for my help. I don't look, you know, for any other counsel, for any other guidance. I listen to the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the power of God. As we said last time, you know, Christ and him crucified, the cross of Christ is the wisdom and the power of God. You can't do better than that in this world. You need that. You know, that's what. So I've tried to live my life that was the thing I focus on. That's the thing that holds me together when things are tough, and it's worked in my life for good things. But he says it's not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age. And the rulers of this age, Paul uses that term in a few other places. In Ephesians 6:10, he says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against rulers, authorities, and powers of this present darkness, right? There are rulers of this age. There are rulers who are in, we call them the spirit of the air, right? Demonic rulers, demonic powers. And that's what he's saying. There's a wisdom that the demonic powers get behind. There's a teaching. There's a corruption that they try to pass on to people. And there's a thing that they try to do to stop people from hearing the gospel, right? And he says, you know, my wisdom comes from God, Paul's wisdom, the word of God, the cross, and the rulers of this age are teaching something else. But what they're teaching, he says, is coming to nothing. It will be annihilated. It'll be destroyed. We speak God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. The mystery of Christ. And this is the thing. What did God do? And he says this in Ephesians. He says it in several other places. The idea that that God knew how he was going to save people. God knew what he was going to do. And it was always through Jesus Christ. It was always through the power of the crucifixion, the power of the cross. It was always through that. And nobody knew. Angels didn't know. Prophets didn't know. Kings didn't know. No one knew. And he says, why? He says, none of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. If God would have told everybody, this is what I'm going to do, and this is the person I'm going to send to save my people, and the way it's going to happen is they're going to crucify him, and he's going to become an atoning sacrifice. He said they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. They would have never crucified Jesus Christ, right? Had they known. And so God kept it hidden in his heart. Nobody knew. Not angels, not kings, not prophets. Nobody knew. And it's amazing. Just think about this. When they crucified Jesus, the demonic powers, because they saw Jesus. They saw him heal sick people. They saw him cast out demons. They saw him calm a storm. They saw him raise the dead. They saw the magnificent power in Jesus Christ. They saw who he was, a Lord of glory. And they said, we got to get rid of this guy. And they plotted, and they got in the hearts of the Pharisees and the leaders of the Jewish people, and then they decided, yes, we'll crucify him, and then we'll be done with him. And they put Jesus Christ on a cross. He went willingly. He knew God's plan. He knew the Father's plan. He went to the cross and he died. And he cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And as he died on the cross, there was that thunderstorm, there was that cloud, and then they put him in the tomb. And 3 days later, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. God's plan was fulfilled, and all the rulers of the authorities of the powers of the air, those rulers, authorities, and powers of darkness, they were destroyed, they were defeated, because Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead. Had they known what was coming, they would have never crucified Jesus Christ. I always make the analogy of a chess game. God knew from Genesis the moves that he would make through history to bring about the defeat of Satan, the defeat of sin, the defeat of death through Jesus Christ. And had the rulers and powers of the air known, right, they would have never crucified him. One of the things that, you know, there's those evil powers are still around. And do you know what they don't like? They don't like the message of Christ. They don't like the message of Jesus and him crucified. They don't like the message that Jesus died and that Jesus was buried. And they definitely don't like the message that Jesus rose again from the dead and he ascended into heaven and he sits in the very center of the throne of God. That he's been given a name above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess that Jesus is Lord, right? Had they known, they would have never allowed any of that to happen. And that was the mystery of God. That's what was in God's heart. He says, however, as is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. This is the Old Testament from Isaiah. And he basically is saying to them that, you know, in Isaiah he's pleading, God, come and show yourself. Come and show your mighty power. Show who you are, right? Show who you are. And God did. He showed who he was through Jesus Christ. And Paul's saying, you know, yeah, people don't know. But God revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. One of the questions I ask is, how do you know, how do you come to believe in Jesus? If you believe in all the things that we're talking about, in the gospel message, he was crucified, he died on the cross, he rose again from the dead. If you call upon his name for salvation, the only way that happens is because God has given you the Holy Spirit. God's given the Holy Spirit to everyone who believes, everyone who praises God, everyone who lifts up the name of Jesus. We don't do that unless the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, works in our heart and gives us the ability to have our eyes open, our hearts open, to understand God's mystery revealed, Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except for the man, the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, right? But the Spirit who is from God. If you acknowledge Jesus, if you receive Christ as your Savior, that's because God's worked in your heart. You don't do it any other way. It's impossible. We'll see that in a minute. That we may understand what God has freely given us. This we speak, not in the words taught by human wisdom, but words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. That's why, you know, we love the Word of God, because under the power of the Spirit, the authors, Paul and others, wrote the New Testament, the words of God. And the Holy Spirit in us sees those words and says, yes, amen, that's true. And that's the work of God in our hearts. That's the work of God in our lives, right? Now he goes on to say, not everybody can hear the Word of God. Not everybody can receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. He says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Young lady, would you stop talking in the back? That is like one of the worst things you can do in church. I'm talking, okay? I'm just sorry, but I've watched it all morning, and it's not right, okay? He says, without the Spirit of God, a person cannot accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. Unless God is working in your life, unless God is working in your heart, you can't receive the message of the gospel. You can't receive the things that God put in place. He says to them, their foolishness makes nothing, makes no sense. To them, they can't comprehend it. They don't understand it. One way Paul talks about this is their eyes are blind or their minds are darkened. They don't see. They can't understand God. They can't understand what God has done. They can't understand how Jesus could be part of God, or how the Holy Spirit could be part of God. They can't understand because it sounds foolish to them because they don't have the Spirit of God. One of the things I again tell you, I pray for all of us, is that the Spirit of God would work in our lives. When the Spirit of God wakens your heart, when the Spirit of God gives you eyes to see and a mind to understand, then you can receive Christ as your Savior. Then you can learn to walk with God. Then you can learn to live in a way that's pleasing to God. Apart from that, there's no hope. So if you have a friend, maybe there's somebody in your family or somebody you know, and you really wish that person would get a hold of God and God would get a hold of them, what do we need? We need them to have the Holy Spirit. They've got to have the Spirit of God. They're not going to get it. If you say, well, if I package it some way, or I make it clever, or I do it. No, that's not it. The wisdom of God, the power of God is in the message of Christ. And only the Holy Spirit opens the heart so people can see that and understand it, right? He says, because they are spiritually discerned. They're spiritually understood. The Spirit of God opens our heart, opens our mind, makes us able to hear and see. He goes on, he says, the spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? That's a quote from the Old Testament. But we have the mind of Christ. The word judgment, you know, we think, nobody can judge me. That's not what he's saying. He says, man makes judgment. In other words, we figure out, by the power of the Spirit, the truth of his word, we figure out, what pleases God? What does God like? What does God want to see in my life? Not only does he open our hearts and minds to it, but he also gives us the power to do it. In Philippians 2, he says, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling, because God is at work in you both to do and will his good pleasure. In other words, to have the desire to do it and then the power to do it. The Spirit of God gives us life with God. The Spirit of God gives us, yes, we embrace Jesus. We embrace the message of the cross, the resurrection, right? But it also gives us power to carry it out, power to please God in how we live. So we ask the question, what is important about a preacher or someone? And that is that God's message gets heard. Not about the person, not about the name of the minister or whatever. The main point is that God's message gets heard, and it gets heard by spiritual strength and power. And what's the best hearer? The best hearer of the word is someone who has the Spirit of God in their life, the Spirit of God that makes them able to be open. Yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I hear about the resurrection and the power of God. Yes, I see there's forgiveness and grace and love in Jesus Christ for us because of the Spirit of God. That's why, you know, I pray constantly for us to have the Spirit of God, to have the Spirit of God in our hearts, in our lives, to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to be spiritual people, because God empowers us. It's good for the preacher, it's good for the hearer, it's good for our families. It's good for everything that we do. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen.